Let's turn this morning to the Gospel of Luke. You've probably already seen that in your bulletin, and you're probably already there. Luke chapter 17, and I'm going to read verses 11 through 19, a very familiar story. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's good. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. And this is what God's Word tells us here today, starting at verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Go and rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we indeed give you thanks for this word that we have here in front of us. Without this, we would be lost. But we have it, and we can read it, and we can study it, and we can learn. But most of all, we can be transformed by it. So we just ask, Lord, that the words of this scripture reading here this morning be transforming in some way in our lives today, this week, and for the rest of our lives. And to you be the glory for this. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, in our scripture text here this morning from Luke, we have another example of a healing miracle performed by Jesus. Actually, there were 10 healing miracles. He healed 10 lepers. And as I was preparing for this message this past week, I concluded as I went through the whole story that I could probably preach 10 different messages from the truths that were found in these short little 9 verses, but I'm not going to preach 10 messages. We'll just preach one here this morning. I'm going to briefly tell you what all those 10 points were, and I'm going to briefly go through the first 9, but spend most of our time here on the 10th one, the one that we need to focus on the most. So let's go through those other 9 quickly, and if you want to make notes, that's fine. If not, that's up to you. But what are the 9 things, other 9 things that we could learn? Actually, the 10 things. Well, let's start with this. What's point number 1? Well, point number 1 is we could talk about the disease that these 10 men had. They had a disease called leprosy. Today, we would call that disease Hansen's disease. How does the disease work? It's fairly simple. It goes like this. The disease acts as an anesthetic. It numbs the pain cells in your hands, in your feet, in your nose, your ears, most of your extremities. And eventually what happens is this. The person who has this disease feels no pain. And it was thought that the disease was started by ulcers on the hands and on the feet and on the face, which eventually led to the rotting of the flesh and things like that. Well, these symptoms do occur, but they're a result of the disease. In other words, they're a result because the warning system of pain has gone. The person no longer feels any pain. And what happens is this. The person eventually destroys their own body because they can't feel it any longer. The disease is extremely contagious. In these times, back then, people had to stand at a distance so other people would not communicate to the disease. And as you know, there's an expression that you may have heard. We kind of use it nowadays. Have you ever heard somebody say, "I wouldn't touch that person with a 10-foot pole"? It's kind of where that expression came from. came from this instance where the lepers had to stand at a distance so they wouldn't be contagious to other people. And according to Leviticus 13:46, a leper had to live outside the camp. So now you know kind of the conditions that these 10 men were under. They had this extremely disastrous disease, and they were also ostracized from the rest of the community. Well, point number two, what's the second thing we could talk about? Well, we could talk about the fact that most Jews believed that if a person had an infirmity like this, especially leprosy, it was a result of sin. Remember the man born blind back in John chapter 9? The disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, whose sin? Was it his parents or was it him that he should be born this way?" It was a common thought that the worse the disease that you had, the worse of a sinner you must have been. But we must conclude here the same thing that Jesus concludes in John chapter 9, that God would be glorified because of this disease that these men had and the miracle that would be performed because of it. Or we could talk about this, point number three. We could talk about the faith that these 10 lepers had. We just got done with a 9-week series on talking about faith. And obviously these 10 men had faith of some kind because Jesus told them, "Go show yourself to the priest," and they all did exactly what Jesus said. So they had some amount of faith, so they did what he said. Or we could talk about point number four. We could talk about how Jesus obeyed the law. In what way? Well, in this instance, he obeyed the Levitical law concerning lepers. According to Leviticus 13, you can go back there and read it, a person that had any type of swelling or scab or bright spot on the skin had to present himself or herself to the priest. And the priest would verify if that person would be clean or unclean. Clean, they could go back and live within the community. Unclean, they would have to live outside the camp. And Jesus was only instructing these men to do what the law required. You see, their condition had changed from a leprous condition to a cleansed condition. They would have to show themselves to the priest so they could be reinstated back into the community. So Jesus was only telling the men to do what they should have done according to the law. Or point number five, we could talk about the priest who had to verify these healings. Now, if you remember in the Gospels, most of the Jewish leaders, which would include the priest, really did not like Jesus. They didn't like him. So the priest here, was he one of those who didn't like Jesus or did like Jesus? We really don't know. But you kind of wonder what the priest thought, what all these priests would think when time after time after time, these people had been miraculously healed of these diseases that everybody knew that they had and healed by this man Jesus. You kind of wonder, how did these healings affect the priest that had to do the verifications of these healings? Or point number six, we could talk about the way that Jesus used a variety of ways to heal people. Sometimes he uses mud. Sometimes he just touches a person. Sometimes he tells a person to go wash in a pool. Sometimes he does it by long distance, like he did the Roman centurion's servant. "Go, it will be done as you have said." And a long distance, he wasn't even anywhere near the person that was healed. And sometimes he does it the way he does it here. He just speaks and he sends the people on their way. And that's what he does. And all 10 lepers were sent away and they were cleansed on the way. Or point number seven, we could talk about the one who returned. He returned immediately when he saw that he had been cleansed. Now, according to the scripture, it almost appears as if he never really made it to the priest. That as soon as he realized that he was cleansed, he turned around and went back. But think about this for a second. If you had been a leper for years and years and years, had been ostracized from your family and friends, had to live outside the camp, what would be the first thing that you would do? I've been cleansed. I need to show myself to the priest, because the first thing you would want to do is get back with your friends and family and get back to life as normal as you used to know it. But not this man. There would be time to go to the priest later. But right now, in his mind, there are more important things to attend to. Point number 8, we could talk about that this man came back and shouted in a loud voice. And what's so unusual about that? Well, a loud voice means this. In most cases, when a person had leprosy, since it affected most of their body, one of the things that they could barely do would be to talk, if they could talk at all. There are chances that their vocal cords have just been affected in some way. But this man, he shouts with a loud voice. So what does that tell us? It tells us this, that when Jesus heals, he not only heals immediately, but he heals completely. He doesn't do the healing halfway. Not only does he give the man a voice, he gives him a loud voice. Point number 9, we could talk about the fact that the man who returned, the one who returns, he's a Samaritan. Remember, it's kind of familiar to the parable of the Good Samaritan. What happened in that parable? Well, we all know that parable. There's a man who was beaten up, lying on the side of the road. And who comes by him but a priest first? And the priest doesn't do anything with the man. As a matter of fact, he crosses on the other side of the road. And what does the second man do? He's a Levite, another Jewish person. He crosses on the other side of the road and does nothing. But this Samaritan in the parable did something. And the Samaritan in this story did something too. It's funny that God's chosen people sometimes just don't live up to be models of their faith, do they? You would think that if they were told to go show themselves to the priest, you could probably assume they were all Jewish. I know that this man was a Samaritan. But they didn't seem to want to show their faith like this man did. But that leads us to point number 10, and this is really where I want us to spend our time here this morning. And this is going to be the 10th and final lesson that we're going to learn from this story here about these 10 lepers. And as we learn this 10th lesson, here's what I want to do here this morning. I want to present a challenge to each and every one of us in here this morning. And that certainly includes me. Are you ready for a challenge this morning? Ooh, such solemn looks on faces. You're not going to make me get up here in front and do something, are you, Mike? No. You can stay right where you're at, okay? So let me ask the question again. Knowing that you don't have to get up and come up front, are you ready for a challenge this morning? Okay, all right. Let's get ready for a challenge. This coming Thursday, we celebrate Thanksgiving, right? Amen? Thanksgiving. In many homes, perhaps yours, it is customary that before the family partakes in the Thanksgiving dinner, that people stand around the dinner table and they tell something that they are thankful for. And they'll go around and this person will say something, this person and this person. And I don't know if that's a custom in your home or not, and that's not the point that I want to get to here. But it is customary that a lot of people will stand around and give thanks, and that's a good thing. But let's think about this here for a second. If that was me standing around the dinner table, it would be easy for me to give thanks around that dinner table for the fact that I have victory in Jesus, and that would be okay. But it would also be easy for me to stand around that dinner table with my family and friends and give thanks to God for all the possessions and things that he's blessed me with over the years. And it would also be easy for me to stand around that dinner table and tell all my family and friends that I give thanks to God for my family, for my friends, for my church family, for all of you. It would be very, very easy for me to do that in that type of environment. But the challenge that I'm going to give us all here this morning isn't to stand around the table and tell others how you feel, how you think, and the thanks that you want to give. Here's the challenge that I present to all of us this week for Thanksgiving. It's going to be a twofold challenge. I want us to be like this Samaritan leper who was cleansed of his disease. What did he do? Very simple. He didn't tell somebody else. He didn't go back into the community. Hey, I give thanks to Jesus for the healing that I have. And he may do that later. And again, there's probably nothing wrong with that. But let's do what he initially did. He went directly to Jesus. He fell at his feet and he gave thanks to him for the healing that he had. So, for us, today, Thursday, whenever, would it be too difficult for us to be more direct with God? This man here, he fell on his face at the feet of Jesus and gave thanks. And maybe this is something you already do, so this is not going to be as much of a challenge to you as what you thought. And you speak directly to him and you tell him thank you for this or that and the other. And again, that's a good thing. But doing it in a public venue, I believe, is easy. Instead of telling me or telling the person next to you that you thank God for this or for that or the other, the challenge is this. Let's make sure we take time to tell God directly that we give thanks to God for this or that and the other. In other words, let me give you an example. Let's say that I am home alone or in my car, and at that point in time, now of course I don't want to fall at his feet literally while I'm driving, okay? But it's just one-on-one time that I look to heaven if I'm in my house or wherever, and I say, Lord, thank you for this. And you spell out the list. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for this. We all have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? We all do. I know you do, and I know I do. But it's easy for me to go to Kay Campbell and say, hey, you know what? I thank God for doing whatever it might have been. But let's take some personal time this morning. Just like this leper, he came personally to Jesus and thanked him for what he had done, in this case, a healing. Let's go personally and directly to God this week, Thursday, today, whenever, and tell him thank you. Let's make this a real day of thanks. Let's personalize it. Well, I said that this was going to be a twofold challenge. Well, that was the thanks at a spiritual level. And we all need to give thanks to the Lord for the things that he has done in our lives. Let's bring it down to the personal level. And maybe this is where it gets to be a little more of a challenge. Let's bring it to a more of an intimate level. When is the last time that you or I have thanked someone personally, face to face, for something that they have done for you? It's easy to send a card, isn't it? It's easy to get on that computer and send an email. Oh, thank you. It's even easier to pick up the telephone and say, thank you. How about in person, where it's really personal and it's intimate? You know, I was kind of expecting Gail to be here, but she's not. But if she was here, I could easily call Gail up here and tell her personally before this entire congregation, oh, Gail, I thank you for being a wonderful wife and putting up with me for 37 years. And I could go through the list, but I'm doing it in front of you. I need to do that with nobody else around. Can you look at your spouse right in the eye and tell him or her, thank you, and mean it? Can you look at your mom or your dad or your son or your daughter or your boss or your friend, whoever that may be, can you look at them right in the eye and tell that person, thank you, and mean it? I know that you're going through the scenarios in your mind right now. Oh, do I really have to do this? And you might even be saying this, well, you know, if I did that, I'm going to get a little emotional and I might cry. And, you know, I'm a guy and guys don't cry because we can't do that. Well, this cleansed leper, and we know he was a man, he had no problem showing emotion or giving thanks. How about us? Who is it that you need to thank this week? And can you do that at an intimate, personal level? Again, it's easy for you to say thanks in front of somebody else. Gail, I thank you for being my wife and all the good things that you have done. That would be easy for me to do that in front of you. I challenge you, sometime this week, to go home and tell somebody, thank you. I believe we need to make this day that we call Thanksgiving Day more than just eating a dead bird. And eating that dead bird till we're filled up to here. Because we all do it, don't we? And then wishing we didn't eat so much. Or just standing around in the circle around the table and telling others you give thanks to God for this or that and the other, and you do it just one day a year because that's the day that you're forced to say it. So often we take these holidays that we have and they become impersonal. This year, let's not make Thanksgiving impersonal. Let's make it very personal. Take your time this week, alone, and thank God one-on-one. And maybe you need to sit down, like I do, and just write out, I'm thankful for this, thankful for this. And maybe your pencil runs out of lead because you've written so much. And that would be a good thing. And just take your intimate time, personal time, and thank God for all the blessings that He has done. And take that same time, thank God first, and then think about the other people in your life that you need to thank, that you haven't thanked for a long time. Your spouse, your mom, your dad, your son, your daughter. I'll just say this. I wrote this sermon a couple days ago, and I said, I need to thank my son because he's always a good person to bounce a lot of theological issues off of. And when we were in the car, just the two of us coming over here this morning, I said, if I'm going to preach it, I better do it, right? And so there I was, right after we filled up with gas this morning at the gas station. I said, Corey, I'm going to preach on this, and I need to tell you thank you. And there the both of us were. You know, maybe when you do it, you need to take a couple Kleenexes with you. But that's okay, isn't it? Thanksgiving Day. Let's make it a day when we really give thanks. And let's not just limit it to Thanksgiving Day. Maybe we start doing that today, and maybe we do that every day of our lives. We have so much, don't we? We have a lot to be thankful for. And I'm certainly thankful for you. And hopefully over some of the period of time over the next day, weeks, I'm going to have a chance to thank you personally for being a friend of mine and part of this congregation. So, are you up for the challenge? Maybe next Sunday we'll hear some stories and people will give some testimonies of how they thank somebody. You know, maybe that's what the unbelieving world needs to see us do. Thanking each other, loving each other, forgiving each other. That's the challenge. Let's go to God in prayer.